Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app. You can listen to podcasts of prior shows also on WDIY.org or yourfinancialchoices.com. Today is July 27th, 2022. The markets were up today with the Dow closing at 32,197, the NASDAQ at 12,032, and the S&P at 4,023. Tonight, I am talking about doing an annual review of your financial situation. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Eric's in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810 and you can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, you can give your question to Eric and he'll write it down and bring it into the studio. If you have longer questions or are not comfortable doing it through the show this evening, you can also email questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. Again, tonight we're talking about doing an annual review of your financial situation, and the number is 610-758-8810. So we're going to, what am I talking about? What does it mean to do an annual review of your financial situation? I feel that sometimes people get very nervous or stressed out when they think about their financials. Some people do really love it and probably become obsessive about it, and other people could care less. It's kind of like the bell curve of people caring and people not caring, and then everyone in between. But you don't really have to get into all the details of your finances to do a checkup. Now, that does help, of course. And why do the details help? Because it means you are paying attention to the, you know, smaller financial attributes that can make a difference in planning for the big one. So I don't want to discount that. I do think it's important to kind of understand the details of your financial situation. But if it is causing you to freeze or be overwhelmed and not pay attention to your financial situation, what I really, really want to convey this evening is that you can do it in such a way to make it easier for yourself. We can talk in generalities and still make progress. We don't have to understand all the details if it's too overwhelming for you. It's like dipping your toe into the water until you can kind of handle it or get used to it. Now, I personally love jumping right in. Don't even test the water. Love it cold. So let's kind of go through some things. So I want to start by just mentioning some observances I often mention on the show because I think it's something that we probably should pay attention to. And that is what I have experienced over the years is when I meet clients or people who know how much money they spend when you're talking to them and they say, oh yeah, I have a budget, or oh yeah, I keep track, I have an app, or I do it in Excel, or I, you know, do it in envelopes or on a piece of paper. When they know how much money they spend, those people typically do have money. It's an observation. I've seen it over and over again. People who know how much money they're spending are usually people who have money. Another observance I've made is people who think they have money often don't. And those who think they don't have any money often do. I knew someone once who, was probably spending beyond their means. And, you know, as I was trying to dig into what they were spending their money on, we were chatting and everything, and they loved going out and loved going dancing and to dinner. And I think that was lovely and wonderful that they could do this. And this was in their retirement years. And when he started to tell me how much it was costing, I was kind of taken aback a bit. And I'm like, well, what's going on with that? Why is it so expensive? And he says, well, you know, he treats. And I'm like, what? He treats for going out to dinner for all the people that he was like going out dancing with, because he said, you know, they couldn't afford it and they love going out. So, you know, he would treat for that. And I had to tell him, I said, you know, keep in mind, you're kind of going through your money, and you have to make sure you have enough for your retirement years, because that's what they're doing. They're making sure they have enough for their retirement years, and they're not spending that money. They're telling you they can't afford to go out because they're being careful and they're being diligent probably about what they're spending on. And, you know, it's wonderful to have that entertainment, and I certainly don't, you know, dissuade someone from, you know, enjoying themselves. Just try to be practical about the decisions. Maybe, you know, once a month treat, or go out, you know, dancing, but maybe not to dinner, that type of thing. So people who think they have money often don't, and those who think they don't have money often do. Pay attention to yourself if you do hear yourself saying either one of those phrases, like, oh, you know, I'm good, I've got money, I can do all this. Review your situation. Or if you say, you know, I really have no idea how much money I'm spending. And I have to tell you, I actually said that to someone today about gas. Someone said, you know, oh, they're checking out all the different gas prices and how they could save, you know, this much and this much. And I said, oh gosh, I have to tell you, I really don't pay attention to how much I'm paying for gas. And she couldn't believe it. But I, you know, in my mind, I said to her, I know I have to buy gas. That is not something that I can choose or not choose. I know I can choose or not choose to buy, you know, more clothes or more shoes or to go to a movie or go out to dinner. I know I have choices in that. Gas, I didn't feel like I have a choice. But then I actually checked myself and said, you know what? Actually, I do go and get gas where I can get a discount. At least my husband does in his car. So we do a little bit of that. So just kind of pay attention to what you're doing and be present. I think that nowadays we're all so busy and distracted by so many different things, we're not paying attention. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, paying attention to your financial situation. And why not sit down, have a date with your spouse or your significant other, or maybe even your children, or, you know, whoever it might be, that important person in your life, could be your financial advisor, to sit down and have an annual review where you're reviewing your financial situation. So tonight I am going to talk about what is on our annual review checklist that we use with clients. And I'm going to go through that and all the different categories and give you some highlights to help you review your own financial situation. So our listeners, if you're a regular listener, sit down, plug in for the next hour with us, and maybe take some notes to help you where you can sit and look at your situation and see if we can give you some tips tonight that might help. If you do have questions, of course, you can call in at talk to us live or off air if you're not comfortable talking live. And that phone number is 610-758-8810. And you can also send questions through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. And I typically email people back the answer. And if it's an appropriate question and not, you know, disclosing any kind of details, I might share the questions on air as well. So again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And we will be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000. Spread the word about your business or orders and Valley National Financial Advisor. Your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100 or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Sieber. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. Also available on the WDIY app. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Eric's in the studio. We'll take your call. If you'd like to talk live on air, he'll put you through. If you have a question you don't want to talk live on air, he'll write it down and bring it in to me. Tonight, we're talking about annual review of your financial situation. So I'm kind of going through a checklist of what we would use with clients, and you can make it apply to yourself. So one of the first things we start with is communication, and we ask, are we communicating effectively? Are we timely? Is it in a manner that works for you? And you can ask yourself if you're comfortable with your professional team's methods of communication. So as you're reviewing this for yourself, you can say, do I do things on my own? If you're doing things on your own, are you communicating regularly with your spouse or with your advisors or with your children if you have children? Are you communicating, we used to have family meetings, my husband and I, with the children. So are you communicating regularly with those people to talk about maybe budget items? Where are we going? What are we spending on trips? Have regular meetings to talk, whether that is, within the family or with your professional advisors. So what kind of communication do you have? Is it effective? Is it timely? Are you in front of your decisions? Then we also talk about an annual review update of your situation. So we send out like a questionnaire to our clients, and it really is just a prompt to using prompts to help generate discussion around important financial topics. So for example, if I ask what your goals are or what you would like to discuss, you might answer that you want to retire at 65 and what do you think about inflation? Those might be very general answers if I simply said, what are your goals or what would you like to discuss? Whereas instead, we give an annual review update that digs into changes that you may have in the future that would impact some of the decisions that may need to be addressed today. So for example, simple answer, want to retire at 65, but maybe we need to talk about some other items. And what studies have shown is that if we ask specific questions, we'll get answers, whereas if we ask a general question like what are your goals, we get a general answer. It's digging into the a little bit deeper that helps set the path for your future. So let me start with a couple of those general things that could really have an impact on your financial situation, and again, reviewed annually. And we start with family and health. So has a member of the immediate family become married, divorced, separated, any of those actions being contemplated? Has there been a child or grandchild born or adopted or acquired through a second marriage? So we call that a blended family. My health, that of my spouse or partner, has that changed significantly enough to affect planning, lifestyle, or attitudes? A spouse, parent, child, or grandchild has become ill, handicapped, seriously injured. Family member has or will need special care. So has someone passed away? Are they terminally ill? So we kind of go through those questions, and you might not always have that at the top of mind if maybe a child was born 6 months ago. Maybe you didn't take the time then because you're falling in love with your baby or your grandchild, whomever it might be, and you're not paying attention to, your lifelong goals in relation to this new little baby, which happened maybe 6 months ago. Right. So if we do an annual review, it's time for us to be present in the moment to address those situations that may impact us. Because, of course, it means if you hadn't had children before, it could be you know, naming beneficiaries now on accounts. It could be getting more life insurance. If you got married, if you got divorced, that could completely change cash flow. It could completely change your timeline of, you know, buying a home or buying a second car. If there is a blended family, you married someone who might have had children, or you have children and you're coming into a marriage where the other spouse didn't have children, you know, it is going to impact some of the other areas of your financial life that you really should attend to. Then we talk about personal goals. So it's not that we're not asking what kind of goals do you have, like might you retire at 65? That's really important. But some of these other items help inform, you know, the answer and the path to meeting the goals that you have. Then some miscellaneous questions we might go through. Have you become involved in a lawsuit? Do you have a safe deposit box? Does someone know where the key is? Do you have personal instructions for your family, such as, you know, passwords and websites, and where can they get information? So some general information. And then we kind of fall into some of the specific categories that you would expect and that I frequently talk about on the radio. Those elements of your financial life that, you know, the Certified Financial Planner Board does such a great job of educating our, you know, not just individuals, but also advisors on important elements that affect someone's financial choices and helping them reach their goals. I will mention that website, Certified Financial Planner Board's website, CFP.net, is a great site to get more information about certified financial planner professionals who try to employ some of this overview in their practices. So first, let's talk about cash flow and some of the questions we might have on cash flow. So, you know, typically, is there anything that we need to know? How is your cash flow? Are you keeping up with the bills? Are you having to pull from, you know, other accounts or savings accounts or retirement accounts, God forbid if you're not retired yet. So how is cash flow? How are you managing it? Do you have upcoming large expenditures? For example, someone might need a car. Well, if you think you might need a car in 2 years, now might be the time to start putting aside a little extra money each month for that down payment or that purchase of that car in 2 years. So when we're looking at cash flow and we're reviewing cash flow, it's not just for today, it's for, you know, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. Now, granted, it's not to say that people don't have little emergencies and things pop up, because of course that does happen as well, which is why we talk about cash reserves. So when we talk about cash flow, it's not just, you know, what's in and out of your checking account. It's, do you have that reserve? A reserve can be 3 months, 6 months, a year's worth of spending. It kind of goes to someone's comfort level. Frankly, these days, I usually like a year's reserve. And again, that's for non-discretionary spending. And typically, if you have a good cash flow and you're working, or if you're dual income household, that always helps a little bit determine whether you need, you know, 6 months or 12 months, that type of thing. Typically, if someone's on their own and you don't have anyone else to rely on for cash flow purposes, I usually like larger cash reserves for those people if you're kind of on your own. Really important. So cash flow, we would look at our spending patterns changing significantly. Has there been a promotion or significant salary increase or decrease? Have retirement plans changed? Is there a potential for, you know, acquisition of a home or extensive travel? Emergency reserves, are they depleted? Do they need to be, you know, replenished? Is there a bonus expected? So cash flow, there's a number of items that we would look at, but you certainly want to plan. This is part of your annual review. You're looking at sitting down with your, you know, by yourself or with your advisors or with your significant others, and you're doing a general overview. You don't have to get into the details, but say, how are we? How have we been? Do we have upcoming cash expenditures? And what can I do today to save for that, to give myself, to be put in a good position to do that. Folks, we are at our second break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is Sue King. Here at WDIY, we love our members because their contributions make all the great programming you hear possible. Rob from Bethlehem recently renewed his membership and said, "Keep up the great work. WDIY is the right place to listen on the left end of the dial." Join Rob and become a WDIY member today. Visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 4.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And you can give your question to Eric and either talk live on air with me or off air, and I'll answer. I'll do my best to answer. We are talking about an annual review update and how you can do this for yourself, with your advisors, with your loved ones, your financial partners, whatever it might be. So moving on to another category, which I'll call one of the financial the elements of financial planning would be investments. And with investments, are the asset values changing significantly from the prior year? Now, most of us have noticed, if we have retirement accounts or investments, that we have seen a significant change in our values since last year, because the market as a whole has, not had a good start to the year. And it's not just in the equities, it's also in the bond market. So we haven't seen that for a very, very long time. Kind of hard to have even a balanced portfolio these days and not be impacted by the downward trend in both the equities and the bonds. But the market did have a good day today. So hopefully we don't all talk ourselves into an economic slowdown and we, keep supporting our economy, et cetera. But that is part of the review, to see what's happening. Does it make sense? Is it consistent with the market? Is it consistent with our risk tolerance? If you're someone who's really conservative and very preservation-minded, you're not going to have the same kind of volatility in your portfolio as someone who's more aggressive. So if it's been 15 years since you've reviewed your portfolio and you're 2 years away from retiring and you just never, ever changed your allocation from 15 years ago, and you might need that money in your retirement years and have to draw on it, well, if you see huge fluctuations, it means it could be you have more equity exposure than you had realized, or that would be maybe appropriate if you're going to need the money in short order. So this is an opportunity for you to do an annual review and kind of say, hey, where are my investments? How have they been doing? What about real estate holdings? Have you, how long have you had your house? Did you buy the house? How are you doing on the mortgage? Have you received inheritances? How were those inheritances invested? Is it appropriate for you? Some people will inherit maybe a retirement account or a brokerage account or part of it, or some, legacy investments that the family has, passed down to generations. Is it appropriate for you? So you want to review what you have there. Do you understand what risk tolerance is? Because you need to know, are you going to be able to stand the volatility depending on how your portfolio is allocated? What about the geography of your assets? So when you're doing this annual review and you're looking at your investments, you will notice that you probably have different types of accounts. You will have usually and hopefully a retirement account through work. That could be a 401k, or it could be an IRA, an individual retirement account. And some of you might even have Roth IRAs. Roth IRAs are those retirement accounts that you funded with after-tax dollars. You didn't get a deduction for that like you do an IRA or a 401k, and then that grows income tax-free. Well, if I have an account that's income tax-free when I eventually take it out, I certainly would love to see that grow like a lot. So my geography of my investments in my Roth IRA might be skewed more toward growth equity type of holdings than maybe my IRA, which will pay out when I take a distribution, ordinary income that gets taxed at ordinary rates. Well, what else has ordinary income at ordinary rates? Fixed income. So if I have a balanced portfolio and I might have fixed income and I might have equities and I might, let's say I have 50-50 just for simplicity here, and I'm not suggesting this, this is just education tonight. If I had 50-50, I might like to see the equities in my Roth, which would hopefully over time have the potential to grow more than what my bond or fixed income portfolio might. Are you understanding that? Because the Roth would be income tax-free. I'd like that to grow as much as it can. If I'm going to have a balanced portfolio, I might skew one of those one way versus the other. This is the type of observations you can make when you sit with yourself, take some time, you know, do whatever it means to you to get yourself comfortable to make this as enjoyable process as you can. Might be a cappuccino, cup of coffee, sitting by the pool or the water, or having a glass of wine, whatever it might be, to kind of put yourself in a state to take the time to review this information. So you're going to check on the investments. You'll look for, you know, the asset allocation, the geography, what kind of accounts do you have? Is it appropriate for your risk tolerance? Can you sleep at night with the volatility? Maybe you don't even need to touch this money for 10 years and you have a great paying job. Well, you might be able to tolerate more volatility than the person who's ready to retire tomorrow. So if you can understand how that kind of works, you can review your rate of return. You can review recent transactions. Do you need to make any updates to your investment portfolio? So that's all part of that annual review financial element of investments. Let's talk about taxes for a minute. And next week, I'm also going to talk about some taxes, 22 tax changes over 2021. I know it's mid-year, but it's a good time to kind of, you know, tax returns are done, hopefully, and we can review some of the changes that you may not have realized. And then we're going to also talk about some proposed changes. I normally never talk about anything proposed because it might never happen, but it might be important to kind of pay attention to some of the proposed changes that we hear people chatting about. So as far as income taxes, what we, you know, typically would sit and look at there is you'd want to look at your tax return. So you'd want to pull out your tax return, see what it's telling you. Do you have wages? Do you have interest income? Do you have dividend income? How much of your dividends are qualified dividends? Qualified dividends are, or it's just a subset of the dividends you make on your investments. And if the dividends are qualified, they qualify for a lower tax rate. So isn't it interesting to look at your tax return to see, number one, if I don't have any interest in dividends, it means I really don't have any savings or investments outside of maybe my retirement account, or I don't have any. So when I'm looking at a tax return, I usually like to see how good of a saver are you? Do you have interest? Do you have dividends? If you have interest, it's ordinary income. It tells me you're a little bit more conservative maybe if I don't see any dividends. If I see both interest and dividends, then I say, oh, they're a little bit more balanced. If I see only dividends, I say, wow, they could be a little bit more aggressive, or they have their equities in their individual accounts and maybe have their fixed income in their retirement account. So it's telling me a story. So if it's telling me a story, it could tell you a story. When you sit and look at your tax return and just be with it and try to say, what is this telling me about my own financial situation? Do not be afraid of your tax return. Then see what other income is on the return. Is it IRA distributions? Is it Social Security? How much of your Social Security is taxed? Because there's two boxes for Social Security. One is your gross benefit and one is your taxable benefit. Why are they different? Try to understand and what impacts that calculation. So, so interesting. Folks, we'll continue our discussion after the break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio, good afternoon. My name is Marcella Benatti. It's currently 6:30 p.m., 83 degrees with some fair skies outside, Lehigh Valley weather. It'll be a chance of thunderstorms and showers tonight with a low of 73. Thursday, it'll be partly sunny with a chance of thunderstorms and a high of 90, and partly cloudy skies with a chance of showers at a low of 69 Thursday night. Lehigh Valley Public Radio, your trusted local NPR member station for over 25 years. Many choices, real voices. Now, back to your financial choices.
Thank you, Marcel. Welcome back, folks. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air with me or give your question to Eric. He'll write it down and bring it in, and I'll do my best to answer them. We are talking about annual review update and how you can do this for yourself. And you don't have to be afraid, and you don't have to dig into all the details or all the numbers. Just kind of have a general understanding, general observations. It's always nice to kind of get the lay of the land for those people who are nervous about it. I would say that really I am talking probably mostly to those people who do fear this, because the people who don't fear it are already doing it. So I'm trying to help kind of move us all forward, right? We have to have some fun things and nice things to think about. And, you know, I frankly, for myself, I don't worry about what's going on in the market right now. It's ups and downs. That's how it works. It's like a child going up the escalator with a yo-yo. And over time, historically, we have learned that that escalator does go up, but there is some up and down with it. And depending on how aggressive or conservative you are, there's a steeper tilt to that escalator. But one way or another, it does seem to go up over time. No guarantees. We can't make any guarantees. I'm just talking about historically. So back to kind of our overview, our annual review when we're looking at taxes. I had mentioned bringing out the tax return. Some other things that you want to think about when you're doing that, and it doesn't mean that you always have to know everything, but you just have to know enough to be able to ask questions or do research. I mean, there's so much research available online now. Government websites have it. The IRS.gov has it. FINRA has it, SEC has it, Department of Labor has it, Investopedia. There are a lot of available resources for people to do research, so you can always do that. But for example, looking at the tax return, if you're required minimum distribution age or at least age 70 and a half, you can, if you're required to have a required minimum distribution at 72, or if you are age 70 and a half, you can do something called a qualified charitable distribution. So when we talk about kind of just setting back and doing an annual review, you don't necessarily have to know all of the different ways you can be charitably inclined. But if you are charitably inclined, you can say, hey, I am charitably inclined. I would like to do something. I would like to benefit some charities. What is the best way for me to do that? Should I go talk to someone, whether it's your financial advisor, your accountant, sometimes attorneys, depending on how much you want to really give, because they could help you with some estate planning around that. And of course, you can always research it. You know, sometimes people talk, you know, over the fence with their neighbors. It may not be applicable to you. So just kind of, you know, do your homework and understand. Don from Philadelphia called and he asked, how does a financial planner charge for services? He is shy about seeing one. Oh, that's interesting. So first of all, as I mentioned earlier, the CFP website, cfp.net, you can search by zip code on there for a certified financial planner. And a number of financial planners will pop up for that zip code. And then you can get some information by on that website. It will typically tell if there is an account minimum that they take. It will tell their areas of, I don't know if I can say expertise, but their areas of concentration. It might say wealth management, estate planning, tax. So you look for those areas of concentration, find one that might look good to you. Then what I would do, because I love researching, I would then go to their website and do a little bit more research and see if they give that information online. There is a form ADV. It's called the brochure rule for registered investment advisory firms that are regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. There is a required brochure to be given to clients or, even prospects. I think I hand it out to anybody that I talk to. And that ADV brochure has the fee schedules typically in that brochure. It will say whether the advisor charges on assets under management. That's typically registered investment advisory firms. And it might be 1% on the first million or 1.5% on the first million. And it might be, and it's whatever that firm charges. Their fee schedule will be in that ADV. Some advice, now that's for wealth management. You might be asking, Don, if what might be a fee if you just maybe want a consultation. So sometimes you can call the financial planner and say, will you meet with me? Is there a fee for that? And maybe just talk to them for a half an hour or an hour. I know that some advisors will talk over the phone with you and give you some general information and kind of answer questions to see if there's a good fit there. Typically, I'm looking to see if I can add value in a relationship. So there could be no fee for a call just to get information. There could be an hourly fee if you're just talking maybe for an hour. Some advisors might charge a consultation fee just to meet initially. I would say probably more of them don't, but they could. And then maybe you want a financial plan. If you want a financial plan, it could be an hourly fee or it could be like a lump sum fee, depending on how in depth the financial plan might be. So it's really, that was a very long answer. So thank you for calling that in, Don. I appreciate it. A very long answer, but the fees can vary. And I am really referencing what I call, the true kind of financial planner that would have that designation of a certified financial planner professional. There are brokers out there who are not financial planners who are not under the registered investment advisory supervision of the SEC. And they would be brokers under FINRA. And that is not necessarily fee-based. And you can be both. You can be both a broker and an investment advisor representative. But on the broker side, then it's more commission-based. And they're charging a commission when they buy and sell stocks or bonds for you. So that would be very different. And they have to disclose those fees now as well. There's required disclosures on all of that. So thank you for that question. All right, back to the income taxes. Let me just wrap this up. So when we talk about annual review, I mean, pull out that tax return, see what story it's telling you, see if you can, what might you do? The issue I sometimes have, and I realize, is people don't always know what they don't know. So when you take time to sit and kind of look at your situation, ask yourself, is there something I might not know here? You heard me refer to the geography of your assets when we talk about, Roth IRA versus IRA versus individual accounts, because there is such different tax treatment on those three different accounts that, gosh, when you look at it, if you look and you say, gosh, each account is allocated the exact same way. Does that make sense? It might not. So that's where you kind of start asking yourself, be like a little detective of your own financial situation. Charitable giving, I had mentioned the qualified charitable distribution. You want to make sure you're doing required minimum distributions if you have either inherited IRAs or if you're 72 or older. Let's see what else. And understand the different tax consequences on the different kind of income you have. So I mentioned ordinary income would be IRAs, Social Security, wages, interest income. That's all ordinary income. Dividends, if they're qualify for a lower tax rate. Capital gains qualify for a lower tax rate. You might have some passive loss carryover from maybe a business or a rental property you had in the past. So you want to make sure, what is the impact of that? I'm watching a case right now for someone who has some passive losses that were suspended from rental properties they had in the past, and they have retired and are starting up another business. But in this kind of transition period, their income might be lower. We don't know yet. But if their income's lower, I might not want a passive loss to get freed up to offset a 10% tax bracket. So what would I do? Well, I want to raise the income on the tax return enough to keep those losses suspended. There's all kinds of different rules around that. That's one of those you don't know what you don't know. So it's important sometimes if you have unusual situations that you're using professionals, and I would expect someone who has passive losses probably does. Now, let's move on, because I want to make sure I cover a couple of these other topics. So when we're looking at this annual review, I've talked about kind of generalities, health, family, lifestyle situations and changes. We've talked about cash flow, what you can look for there, investments, income taxes. Let's talk a minute about retirement. So retirement benefits and planning. This is where I probably see the most it's not negligence, the most, where people don't pay attention to what they have in their retirement accounts. You start working at a company and you say you're going to contribute to the 401k and you set up your allocation and you never look at it again for 15 years. And that sometimes really, really works to a lot of people's benefit, but sometimes it doesn't. And as I said earlier, we want to make sure all these elements of financial planning work together. And this is why you have to do the annual review, is because we're talking maybe cash flow, we're talking about investments, and we're talking about retirement. Those all work together. And so if I'm getting ready to retire and for years I never paid attention to my allocation in my 401k and I was like 100% aggressive, all equities, and I'm going to retire next year and I've did all my life savings in my retirement account, when I retire, I'm going to have to pull from that. That's all ordinary income. So now we're talking about taxes. If I'm pulling out of it, and guess what? What happened in 2022? We're down 20% in the market. So do I really want to be pulling out of my retirement account, having income taxes, when it's 20% down and it's going to be my life savings? So you want to make sure all those pieces are working together. I think it's really important that if you are thinking about retirement, in your annual review, say, oh, I'm going to retire maybe 2 years, 5 years or whatever. Start setting aside that cash now to make sure you have some emergency reserves, because it's going to be much more difficult to build up emergency reserves when you don't have a paycheck coming in. All right. So retirement benefits, have you reviewed your contributions? Are you doing, are you getting the match from the employer if the employer matches? Are you making more money now and continue to get raises but never changed the amount that you were contributing to the 401k? When you started, you could only afford 3%, and now, you've quadrupled your salary and you kept it at 3%. Maybe you're not maxing your 401k. So review those contribution amounts. Are you someone who works for a company that has stock options? Now, I don't really see people getting stock options as often these days as we used to see. What that is kind of an incentive for employees. And a company might award stock options to someone to buy it at this price today and invest in, X number of years, and then the hope is that the stock price goes up, you pay the lower price. It's great. Sometimes they'll give you what we call restricted stock units. Those are also a kind of an award of stock that you'll get today, pay tax on it when you get it. It might be 3 years later, typically. So what do you have? Have you valued that when you're, you know, factoring in your net worth type of things? Folks, we are at our last break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1, also on the WDIY app. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. You can give your question to Eric, talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Eric and he'll write it down and bring it in, as he did for Don in Philadelphia. Annual review. You're doing it for yourself. You can do it general. I want you to embrace this. We're looking at retirement benefits. Before I move on to risk management and estate planning, I want to just tie a little ribbon, a bow on the retirement benefits. Regular listeners know I love Roth IRAs. If you are eligible to do one if you're eligible to, and you can afford it and you got the cash flow and all that kind of thing. It's a retirement account that grows income tax free. You can check with your advisor on the positives and the way to do that, but do love Roth IRAs. There's also Roth conversions. That's a little bit more complicated, but if you don't know what these are, and I'm always surprised when someone doesn't know what they are, but if you don't know what a Roth IRA is, do a little research. Google it. The reason I love Roth IRAs in particular, even over the conversions, the Roth IRAs, if you're eligible, there's income limitations, and of course you have to have the funds available to you. But the reason I love them is because they do grow tax-free, but you can always take out your original contribution if you get in a pinch. If you put money in an IRA, that's a deduction. If you're under age 59 and a half and you get in a pinch and you have to take it out, you have income tax and a 10% penalty. The Roth IRA, if you put it in, if you're eligible, you're not getting a tax deduction for it. So typically, I like to do this if people have excess cash flow. You put it in, and the real benefit is if you get into a pinch, you can take out the original contribution. So let's pretend you put in $6,000 a year for 5 years. That's $30,000. And in 5 years, your $30,000 grows to $36,000. So it's grown $6,000 in my little story. And now you decide you want to buy a house and you needed just a little bit extra money for maybe the closing cost or a down payment or something. You could pull out any of the original $30,000 if you really needed it without penalty and without tax. Just can't beat that. Issue is not everybody can do them. There are income limits. So, and you have to have wages, earnings. You have to have earned income to be able to do that. So just keep that in mind. Get more information if you think that sounds interesting. Now, we're doing, again, our annual review update for ourselves. We're going to look at risk management, which is insurance. We want you to, of course, review what kind of insurance you have. That would be life insurance. It's also homeowners insurance and auto insurance. Lori, what are you talking about? What does that have to do with anything? I buy a car and I get auto insurance. Well, you know, 10 years later, you still have the car, and if it got in a collision, it wouldn't be worth anything. So are you paying for more coverage on that car than you really need? Call your insurance agent. Ask them to review that for you. Homeowner's insurance, is your house worth, you know, $200,000 and you insure it, and you fail to tell your insurance provider that you, you know, put on an addition and the house, you know, is now worth $300,000. You want to make sure you, you know, fully cover your home, usually for replacement value, and you want to make sure that you're keeping your insurance agent up to date. Life insurance changes over time based on your needs. If you have debts, if you have a mortgage, if you have children, you have a spouse, maybe someone you have to provide for after you're gone, if that person or family member is relying on your, you know, your cash flow, and something happens to you, you're not going to be there anymore, then you might want to provide some life insurance for them to replace that lost income, or to cover things such as a mortgage, or, you know, a child's education or something like that. So life insurance is important to review. Kind of tying all of this together, you also want to review beneficiary designations on life insurance to make sure that, you know, you still haven't named, you know, mom and dad. If you've been married 10 years, maybe you want to name your spouse at this point. I'm just, maybe, I don't know. So often people forget to update their beneficiary designations, whether it's life insurance or retirement accounts. And frankly, when we often, you know, prior to being married, I know, I'm sure I probably named my mom and dad as beneficiaries, or at least my mother. And then you get married and you do want to update that, but we kind of forget over time that we've done those things. So just make sure you update it, because usually your parents don't need the money and don't want the money. And if you don't have a spouse, you don't have children, who else might you want to benefit? Maybe it's a partner, maybe it's a niece or a nephew or a sibling. You don't have to do it to your parents necessarily, and that could certainly impact their own estate planning. If you have done that, let them know that so they can, you know, plan accordingly for their own estate. So when we talk about risk management, it's really insurance that we're looking at. And do you have umbrella insurance? What's umbrella insurance? Umbrella, imagine an umbrella kind of over your home, over your car. It kind of helps fill in the gaps if someone sues you above and beyond what maybe your homeowners or your auto insurance might cover. I think it's particularly important for people who even have businesses to have umbrella coverage, and you can talk with your agent about that as well. Long-term care, obviously, is a concern for a lot of people. It's expensive, can be expensive. There's different options out there nowadays, so you want to make sure you explore that if you think you're someone who might need some kind of long-term care. Typically, when I talk to folks about this, it really is a very personal decision. What I have found is people whose family members just dropped dead, they never want the long-term care insurance because they hope and think they will also just drop dead. And then, of course, there's those other people who have, you know, the aunt or the uncle or the mother or grandparent who's in the nursing home for 10 years, and those people tend to really want it. And why is that? Because sometimes family history, you know, bears out, and you might have consistent kind of health issues in families. Just know if it really was your, you know, in-law, not, you know, your actual blood relative, that might make a difference. So keep that in mind. So when we're looking at long-term care, personal decision, but certainly understand your options, because there are more now than there used to be. This is another good point about doing an annual review update. Things change. Tax law changes, retirement account structures change. We didn't always have Roth IRAs. When I first started in the business, it wasn't, you never even heard of a Roth IRA. So what has changed that you might not be aware of? and see what kind of options you might have. That goes to the point of the person who called in and asked about a financial planner. People get nervous about that. They think maybe they're going to get judged. It's why, you know, a lot of people don't want to go to the doctor because they don't want the doctor to judge, you know, their weight or their blood pressure or their sugar levels. So the same thing could happen with someone's financial situation. They may not want anyone to judge them. Financial advisors really, you know, aren't making judgments. They're usually and generally people who really want to help. So hopefully they do make a difference. So let me see, what else would we want to talk about? Disability insurance is something typically we're getting through work. If you're self-employed, you definitely want to make sure you have disability. So when you're reviewing your situation, try to, I call it, like, I follow the threads. It's like a quilt, and there's all these threads that go all different directions, and you want to make sure you're following the threads. Or my husband likes to do what's called mind mapping, where he puts down an idea and then, you know, puts little bubbles off each idea as to what he might have to think about in his situation. You could certainly do that with doing an annual review of your financial situation. Let's talk about estate planning then. So when we look at estate planning, it's not just estate planning, meaning not just when you know, planning for when you die. It's for while you're alive too, because you want to make sure. People think like, oh, I'm going to give this to my kids, and oh, I should start gifting to my kids now. And they forget that they're still alive, and you have to make sure that your estate is going to last while you are alive. So estate planning isn't just for when you die. It's for while you're alive as well, to make sure everything is in order. So do you have a will? Do you have a power of attorney? Do you have health directives? Might you need a trust? Why would you need a trust? Maybe if you have minor children, maybe if you have a special needs child, maybe if you have property in another state, maybe if your spouse or your heirs aren't able to handle a financial windfall, maybe you want to put those assets in trust. So you want to sit back and say, what makes sense for me? And, you know, I will remind people, you don't have to figure it out all by yourself. Estate planning can be a little overwhelming for people. Some people think they can do it on their own. You don't always know what you don't know. But if you work with a professional, you just need to kind of understand what you want and figure out what you want, and they will help guide you with the options that would be available for you to see your wishes, to see your goals borne out, I will say. So when we're talking about estate planning, is there lifetime planning that goes around with that? Meaning, does it make sense that I gift? Do I want to gift to anyone? If I want to gift, what does that look like? Do I gift to my children? Do I gift to my grandchildren? Do I do education accounts? How much can I gift? How much can I gift without having to do anything? I still get all kinds of questions about, if I gift, how much do they have to pay in taxes on that? Well, that means you need a little bit more understanding about what it means to gift. The IRS tells us we can make an annual gift of $16,000 in 2022 to anyone. I could give $16,000 to anybody I want to, and I don't have to report it. They don't have to report it. There's no tax consequence. I could also gift $12,060,000 and not pay any gift tax. What you say? $12,060,000 is the lifetime gift exclusion, which is tied to the estate exclusion. So if I gift that much and don't pay gift tax, it also means if I die the next day and I still have another, you know, $12 million, I am definitely going to have an estate problem there because I've used up my whole lifetime exemption. So you have to kind of understand what are the amounts that you can gift. And again, in relation to all of your other financial goals, are you going to be okay during your lifetime? Are you going to have enough for retirement? So these are kind of the elements of your financial life that you'd want to review and sit and do an annual review, and not just say, when do I want to retire? or I want this much money. You want to make sure you take the time to kind of understand how all the pieces work together, and you can create synergies in coordinating those elements of your financial life to make sure they're working together in an effective and efficient way to provide you with the opportunity for the best results that you can get in reaching your goals. Lots of different ways you can do that within each of these elements, but it starts with you taking the time to look at your situation and assess it and actually do kind of like a mental projection and writing it down and getting into the details works as well. But step one is just taking the time to kind of sit down and put this all together. I've talked in the past about doing an inventory of your assets and your liabilities, and that is also a great place to start. I want to thank our listeners this evening for calling in, and I want to thank Eric for being here and Marcel for being here. Thank you so much. And James Johnson as well. As I mentioned, next week, we're going to talk about tax changes between 21 and 22. There's a few differences, and we don't want people to think they're going to get big old refunds based on those child tax credits because they kind of tamp those back down. But we're also going to talk about some proposed changes that you may have to pay attention to and just keep in the back of your mind. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.